Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Today, in the first segment, I'm going to talk about water. And you've heard others talk about water and its connection to money, currency, in particular Jordan Maxwell. Jordan was the first one that I'm aware of to talk about the power of words, their true meanings, how words and phrases that have passed into common usage can be used to hold us in thrall, and now it's turned into a cottage industry with all these people out there castigating you and trying to impose all these taboos on you. Oh, you can't say this. You can't say good morning because, oh, morning is spelled M-O-U-R-N-I-G. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Morning as in grief. Oh, good morning. You're in good grief, right? You can't even say the short version of that, morning. And I say good morning all the time. I say morning all the time. I'm not going to be held in thrall by someone else's views and their taboos and all that. And we just have too much of that these days. It's just so tiresome listening to these people. And they don't even realize that they're copying and basically feeding off of all the work that Jordan Maxwell did years ago. But that much being said, a lot of the things Jordan talked about have relevance in today's world. Because if you look at water and how the word usage, that the wordplay that was created by the Spinmeisters, and this could go back to ancient Babylonia for all we know, and how we are made up largely of water, and how water affects us in so many ways, and how the water has been polluted and corrupted and defiled and made to be contaminated with PCBs and radioactivity, etc., etc. So let's take a look at that, and then I'll talk about some of the other subjects leading into the member section, part two. I will also talk about the moon and its connection to water, because I think that's critically important. David Icke and others have talked about the Saturn-Moon matrix, and that's a key topic. It's a key issue. It's one of the main forms of control on our earthly plane. But we also need to look at other aspects of the moon as well. Like why, for example, does the moon regulate, literally regulate, women's menstrual cycles, women's ovulation cycles? That can be looked at as a good thing, could be looked at as a bad thing. Why is it that human beings breed so often compared to other beings, even other so-called primates, right? Because if the aliens involved in these hybridization programs had to wait every 6 months or a year for another breeding season, another mating season, or another ovulation cycle in order to extract their fetuses, extract their ovum, etc., etc., you could see how they could, that could put a crimp into the alien hybridization agenda. So we'll get into that more later on. For now, let's talk about water and how the terminology related to water has been seamlessly passed into the jargon, the lexicon of banking, of high finance, of currency. Jordan Maxwell, again, talks about this a lot. Money, currency, the current of water, the currency of water. Banks, currents run through rivers, streams, creeks, estuaries. They run through land masses, either side of which are banks. And we look at the connection that water has with the human body. So much of our bloodstream is made up of water. And I talked a moment ago about how the moon regulates water. The moon regulates tides. The moon's influence has even been recorded in a cup of tea. So when these people come along and try to say that the moon is a good thing, right, it just misunderstood, I just have to shake my head at the idiocy of it. There is such a thing as lunacy. There is such a thing as an upsurge, an increase, a spike of mayhem, of violent crimes, of domestic abuse, of all kinds of problems during the full moon phase. That's been known throughout history. And there's a reason why wolves and dogs and hounds howl and bay at the moon. Because perhaps they look at it as something completely unnatural. But the point of relevance is that the moon has an influence, however subtle, however pronounced, upon us, upon the water that courses through our veins. And somehow, these Babylonian banksters, as they're referred to in some circles, these high priests of high finance, have made this connection between water and currency and finance. There is some alchemical process that has taken place and is continually reinforced, which ensures that this water flow, this currency flow, this form of banker water alchemy only benefits the ruling classes, particularly the hybridized reptilian classes. And there's a microcosmic aspect as well as a macrocosmic aspect and a metaphor behind it all too. Our internal waters are befouled through the processed food, through the bad poison water, through the pharmaceuticals, etc., etc. The external water is polluted through PCBs and radiation and toxins and plastic, etc. They've managed to keep, they being the bankster, Babylonian bankster, reptilian human hybrid ruling elite, they've managed to keep their waters pure and pristine, and they've befouled the waters of everyone else, right? And it's yet another example which shows that the ruling elite, so-called, are not human or not entirely human or hybridized humans who are playing to a different sheet of music than the rest of us. And because we honor this planet. We honor the life-giving, sustenance-giving nature of this wondrous planet we're on. Them, they just desecrate and destroy and pollute this planet every chance they get. Fukushima, Gulf of Mexico, it goes on and on. So the internal waters within us are befouled. The internal waters within us are malignly influenced at times by the moon, Saturn moon matrix. And also, we talk about currency. DNA, we've said many times, DNA is the currency of the universe. Currency, water, water flow. There's a crystalline aspect to DNA. DNA being a transceiver, a receiver, and a transmitter of information. The currency of the universe. And of course, a lot of these tabooists, that's a new word I just made up. Oh, you know, the crystalline thing, that's a scam, that's a hoax, that's a trap too. Everything's a trap. The electric universe, that's a trap too. No, actually, you know, if he'd paid attention to Tesla and people like him and didn't bump him off, we can get unlimited amounts of energy because it's all around us. It's a plasma electric universe. Don't have to burn and destroy things in order to extract energy out of it. This crash and burn syndrome. And now you hear people saying, oh, the electric universe, that's just another trap. It never ends with some of these people. Check the fruit on the tree. Check the fruit on the tree. Tune into the vibe they're emitting. Forget about the smiling face. Forget about how earnest they seem or sound when they want to dismantle this evil control system and how much they're a truther and how they're the most surveilled, monitored person on the planet. And just tune into their vibe and just listen to the message they're spewing out. It's a form of pacification, folks. So getting back to the DNA as the currency of the universe. Again, the currency. So what we have had for some time are all these different groups of ETs exploiting human DNA for their own purposes. And even the Deep Black Military, Department of Energy, etc., have been in the DNA gene splicing game for some time now. And I'm always reminded of Greek mythology. People, like so-called modern smart people, read Greek mythology. They roll their eyes. Oh, look at this half man, half other creature. Oh, look at this creature, multi-headed thing. And these ancient people, they're just silly, stupid, and superstitious. Ha ha ha. We're so modern. We're so advanced. But when you factor in the possibility and indeed the likelihood of advanced geneticists, or at least beings with an advanced genetic capability that can splice and dice genes from two or more different life forms, organisms, and then you throw in the nanotech on top of it, etc., oh yeah, I can easily see how what the Greek mythology was describing was absolutely real at one time in the distant past, the forgotten past of the Earth, where all these different creatures roamed, giants, multi-headed beings, beings that were half human, half animal, etc. So DNA is being used. DNA has been weaponized. And we're even seeing this in not even, you know, deep black underground genetics labs, even in highly classified surface level genetics programs. They're creating all kinds of genetic chimeras that should never have been created. Creation had nothing to do. Divine source had nothing to do with the creation of some of these beings. These beings are, sad to say, abominations. They should never have existed, and they're being created on the whims of these demented, evil controllers. Because they can do it, okay? Because they can, and nothing stops them. They're not restrained by ethics or morals or anything like that. Genetics, DNA, as a form of currency, the currency of the universe. And getting back to monetary issues, it's interesting how the cryptocurrencies have been manipulated. Say what you want about cryptocurrencies. It was a trap. It was set up by NSA, etc. You know what? Some people were becoming financially independent as a result of working with cryptocurrencies. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is simply unacceptable to the powers that be, which is why, at some level, they had to interfere. Whether they set it up or not is a moot point, as far as I'm concerned. People were starting to make a living off of it, starting to become debt-free, become financially independent. Therefore, even sterner measures had to take place from the controller's standpoint. And interestingly enough, I'll read you bits of an article. And even in this article about Bitcoin, cryptocurrency speculation, manipulation, you know, this jargon, this lingo is peppered with references to water or things related to water. Let me read. This is from COINTELEGRAPH.com. And the byline reads, "Single trader with enormous bankroll is manipulating Bitcoin price, but to what end? Question mark." By David Dinkins, August 6, 2017. And if you remember, this is when a lot of the peaks and valleys and the mad speculation was going on last year. Rumors are swirling about a trader with nearly unlimited funds who was manipulating the Bitcoin markets. This trader, nicknamed Spoofy, received his nom de guerre because of his efforts to spoof the market, primarily on Bitfinex. What is spoofing? According to the Dodd-Frank Act, spoofing is the practice of, quote, bidding or offering with the intent to cancel the bid or offer before execution, unquote. In other words, spoofers place a large buy order just below other buy orders or a large sell order just above other sell orders. The idea is to make traders think that somebody with deep pockets is getting ready to buy or sell in hopes of moving the market. If traders see a sell order of 2,000 Bitcoin, for instance, they may rush to panic sell before the whale crashes the price. Interesting that they use the term the whale. We see this in gambling, too. A whale is someone who's a high roller, a multimillionaire, or bigger. And when they show up at a hotel casino, it's like they roll out the red carpet and they, practically get on their hands and knees and, start bowing and scraping, right? That's a whale. And here they are, they're using that term. If traders see a sell order of 2,000 Bitcoin, for instance, they may rush to panic sell before the whale crashes the price. The catch is this: if the price approaches the spoofer's order, he immediately cancels it. It's a bait and switch, folks. Spoofing is actually illegal, but as Bitcoin markets are largely unregulated, it's quite common. What is unusual in this case is the enormous bankroll that Spoofy has at his disposal. He regularly places orders approaching $60 million, so he's not just a high roller, he's part of the financial banking elite, and he's there to make life difficult for a lot of people who just want to make money, become financially independent, get out of debt, and basically just take over the cryptocurrency market. In a way, once again, that benefits the ruling elite. They've befouled the waters of the oceans and the seas and the rivers. They've befouled the waters of people's internal body chemistry. They've befouled the DNA currency, all the things they put in vaccines and everything else, and the food and everything else. And now it seems that they're befouling the waters of cryptocurrency. I'll be putting out a members only discussion with Jordan Maxwell, where he talks about currency, the banking system, etc. So I thought that, I just might as well plug that while I'm at it. Back to the article. Even more unusual is that most of Spoofy's activities occurs on a single exchange, Bitfinex or Bitfinex, however one would pronounce that. This exchange came under fire earlier this spring when Wells Fargo cut off their banking ties. As a result, it's virtually impossible to deposit fiat on Bitfinex without going through intermediaries. Spoofy has massive sums of both fiat and Bitcoin on that exchange and is likely one of the only traders who does. Other tactics. Spoofy has a number of weapons in his arsenal, including spoofing and wash trading. Wash trading, again, another reference to water. As BitCryptoed points out in a recent blog post, Spoofy makes the price go up when he wants it to go up, and Spoofy makes the price go down when he wants it to go down, and he's got the coin, both USD and Bitcoin, of course, to pull it off, and with impunity on Bitfinex, quote unquote. The BitCryptoed blog also describes Spoofy's wash trades when he trades with himself by either selling into his own buy orders or vice versa. Wash trading at high volumes, again, volumes of water, can induce a frenzy of buying or selling as other traders respond to the high trading volume. Spoofy can execute wash trades at very low cost, about $1,000 per $1 million of volume. When Bitfinex announced its plan to distribute Bitcoin Cash, it initially planned to distribute Bitcoin Cash to holders of short positions. Immediately following that announcement, a single trader short sold tens of thousands of Bitcoin all at once. It's likely this trader was Spoofy himself. This guy's like Q in Star Trek: The Next Generation. Everything's hunky dory and they're all happy. Next thing you know, Q shows up and just starts mucking around, causing all kinds of problems. Planning on acquiring as much Bitcoin Cash as possible. Let me read that last sentence again. It's likely this trader was Spoofy himself. Savoir faire is everywhere. It's likely this trader was Spoofy himself, planning on acquiring as much Bitcoin Cash as possible. And I laugh, but folks, this Spoofy character or group of individuals that make up Spoofy have basically, ruined a lot of lives. Because, I mean, it got to the point where people were taking out second mortgages on their homes because they wanted to get in on cryptocurrencies because they saw all the money people were making, right? And again, whatever anyone thinks about cryptocurrencies, yes, it wouldn't surprise me if NSA or the CIA created it. However, I see it as an effort to get away from this fiat currency monetized debt system. Love it or hate it. And the fact remains that some people were making a killing off of it. Some people were becoming financially independent. Some people were becoming debt free. And yes, it could be a bait and switch, a pump and dump setup. We just don't know. But at least some people have used it to make a nice fortune for themselves. Being a believer in free enterprise, I can't complain about that. Some people just can't see the forest for the trees. This is why it's so easy to hoax people in the so-called truther community, just to digress for a second. It's like, for example, the International Space Station. Oh, that's a hoax. And you know, here's a video showing that it's just a bunch of actors, and look at this female astronaut, and her hair has all been sprayed with this kind of gooey thing that make it look like it's floating upwards in a gravity-free environment. And oh, look at these other astronauts. They're really in this big diving tank. You can see the bubbles. Stop and think about it, folks. If the intention was to create the illusion that the International Space Station was such a hoax, was really a hoax, rather, why would they allow such a video to go out and then rapidly gain such currency, there's that term again, rapidly gain such traction on the internet? If the intention was to fool everybody into thinking that the International Space Station was real rather than a hoax. You got to think in opposites when it comes to these things, right? If it's such a secret, if it's such a psyop, why would they allow such a video to go out and gain such traction, gain such currency? Not only is it being pushed by the system with countless trolls and sock puppets forwarding these things around, just like they forward the flat earth stuff, just like they forward the nuclear weapons and nuclear energy as a hoax. See, what's happened, folks, is they've done not only market studies on people on the internet, people in general. So they do psych profiles. A lot of these truthers, so-called, a lot of them are kind of unstable, if you ask me. And because they lack life experience, because they haven't been out there in the real world, they've just been pecking away at their keyboards and swiping constantly on their tablets and on their phones. They actually haven't had time to get out there in the real world. They haven't met people that work with corporations that build the huge optical lenses for spy satellites. They haven't met anyone who actually worked on spy satellites. They haven't met anyone who worked in nuclear submarines. So all that stuff is a hoax to them. And it's almost a way for them to gain control, regain control they've lost. There's a term that fighter pilots use. It's called cognitive saturation. It's when they're flying along at Mach 1.7 or something, and you know, they're getting all this information from the heads-up display, they're getting all this information through their comms, you know, they're traveling really fast, and cognitive saturation means that they get so much information coming into them at one time that they basically lose the plot. They get confused, they get disoriented. And cognitive saturation can lead to spatial disorientation. I forget the exact term for it. Cognitive saturation, spatial disorientation, that's it. Where the fighter pilot, flying at such high speed, they don't know where the horizon is. They literally don't know what's up or what's down. Okay? What's up, what's down, what's left, what's sideways. And that could be very dangerous. Okay? So I think something like that happens with all these truthers because they lack that internal, some of them lack that internal BS detector. They just go to website after website, listen to podcast after podcast because they don't trust themselves. They don't have their own well-defined intel requirements. Like me, I'm interested in everything that goes on in the surface world because I know that what goes on in the surface world is the outward physical manifestation of what's going on behind the scenes, what David Bohm referred to as the implicate order. So from a standpoint of geopolitics, weapons development, all that stuff, false flags, et cetera, currency speculation, I'm interested in it because It's the outward manifestation of spiritual manipulation emanating from other realms, other dimensions, other worlds, etc., etc. So I have an interest in surface-level stuff all across the board, but when it comes to the deep, deep, weird science, deep black, supernatural stuff, let's say, my intel requirements are few. There's only a few things that I'm really, really interested in because it has resonance and it has meaning to me. And so, you know, lots of well-meaning people out there, they keep sending me videos and sending me this, sending me that. And I understand they're just being, you know, nice and they're well-intentioned. But a lot of the stuff they send me, quite frankly, doesn't resonate with me or draw my interest because they don't meet my intel requirements, okay? And I don't say that out of a sense of elitism or I feel like I know more than anyone else or I know better. It's got nothing to do with any of that. When it comes to the deep black, weird science, supernatural, hyperdimensional stuff, there's only so many things I'm interested in. And so what happens is they've psych profiled all these people, all these truthers who are desperately trying to regain control, desperately trying to reclaim everything that they've lost as far as their sense of well-being, as far as their finances, as far as their interpersonal relationships. So they carefully send these things out, label them a hoax, and then it makes these people feel good about themselves. Oh, yes, it's just a hoax. You know, the Earth is flat. There's no nuclear weapons. The International Space Station doesn't exist. Cognitive saturation leading to spatial disorientation. Okay? That's the way I see it. That much being said, we should all have our own unique set of intel requirements. We are not the Borg collective. We are not cut from some kind of cookie cutter mold. We each have our own intel requirements. We each have our own destiny to fulfill. Cycling back to the subject at hand, this manipulation, speculation of cryptocurrencies, its relation to currencies, water, the terminology related to water, etc. I think it has relevance because people, the powers that be, they don't want these people that get involved with cryptos to become financially independent, to be debt-free. They want to ruin their lives. Oh, look, this guy, he took out a second mortgage in his home, and now, you know, we've crashed the cryptocurrency market. He's going down, and a lot of people with him, right? Because they got into the show a little late, and, you know, now we're pulling the plug, right? Now, a lot of people in the process became financially independent, got out of debt, which is good for them, and I have no qualms about that. They did this through their own efforts, their own research. They took a chance. And I like people who make calculated gambles, let's say. They do all the relevant research, and they say, you know, the old SAS motto, who dares wins. They go for it, and they came out of it okay. But a lot of people, because of people like Spoofy or organizations, collective groups like Spoofy, they're ruining people's lives. I only make this point, I segue into all this other stuff because I see the same thing with cryptocurrencies. People just scream hoax, it's just set up by the NSA, yada, yada, yada. The internet was set up by the military, by DARPA, okay? If you do your studies in military history, you will see that right at the outset of the Korean War, when the North was goaded into invading South Korea by the Soviets, which would never have happened had it not been for these conferences, Yalta, Tehran, etc., where an aging and a devious FDR, President Roosevelt, gave the Russians everything, you know, and the lot next door, in order for them to go to war against Japan and Manchuria, which they would have done anyway. As part of that deal, they gave the Soviets control of the northern half of Korea, which they didn't have to do, okay? So the point of relevance is when the North invaded the South, General MacArthur went into a room with a big view screen, think of it as a little theater, and someone in the Pentagon was typing, and the words were showing up on a view screen in Tokyo, Japan, and then MacArthur's person was typing back replies dictated to him by MacArthur. So that's the internet. And that was 1950, okay? June 1950, they already had that. So when people say, oh, you know, this is a hoax, that's a hoax, the internet, you know, the cryptocurrencies is set up by the NSA, that's very much like locking the barn door after the horse has been stolen. That horse has already bolted. Make the best of what we got. And thankfully, people are creating different forms of social media. They're utilizing encrypted phone applications, et cetera, et cetera. They're utilizing encrypted email. Yeah, if NSA and GCHQ, et cetera, wanted to bust in, if they wanted to bad enough, I guess they could. But, you know, might as well not make it easy for them, right? So just keep all that in mind. There's so many people out there. They're taken in by any little thing labeled hoax. It's just like their mind just goes into meltdown. Oh, that explains everything. Airliners don't require aviation fuel. And then what they'll do is they'll post a picture of an air compressor next to an airliner and say, this proves that, you know, this proves that they don't use aviation fuel to, you know, power these airplanes, right? It's just so dumb. But, you know, people do what they do best, and because they lack life experience and because they're conspiracy-minded, some people are like that. Some people, it's like they can't see the forest for the trees. Everything, yes, okay, we know that everything is a conspiracy, but to them, every little thing that comes along labeled a hoax is part of the conspiracy too. That's why it's so easy to fool them, people, folks. It really is. So when these hybrid kind of hoaxed, real-world, false flag terrorist events pop up where people were really killed, people really disappeared, but it's presented by the lamestream media, all the imagery, all the photographs they use, all the interviews with people who are blatantly crisis actors, poorly, you know, reading scripts very poorly. It's the simpletons watching, oh, it's just a hoax. When, you know, perhaps people were really killed. Perhaps people were really, you know, murdered and disappeared. And I think that's happened on a number of occasions. People just don't have that internal guidance, that internal BS detector, okay? So anyhow, getting back to this spoofy guy. The large number of shorts on Bitfinex also led many to believe that an epic short squeeze was coming, and many Bitcoin traders purchased coins in expectation of this. Suddenly he, quote, claimed all his own shorts, closing them using his own Bitcoin. The number of shorts dropped drastically without affecting the price at all. Who is he? The identity of Spoofy remains a mystery. He may be a single trader, a group of colluding traders, or even the Bitfinex management themselves. He sometimes seeks to drop Bitcoin price and sometimes acts to increase it. Not just Bitfinex. Spoofy's activities also drive the price on other exchanges as arbitrage takes place. Because Bitcoin is so thinly traded, a single large whale, quote-unquote, there's that term again, can potentially move the entire market. While Spoofy is certainly exercising outsized control over the Bitcoin price, it is uncertain how much of an effect this is having on the markets. The price is currently rising, having finally surmounted the $3,000 barrier. And remember, this article is back in August 2017. The only problem, nobody knows how much of this increase is organic and sustainable and how much is due to the market manipulation of Spoofy and others. Interesting that they would label this guy Spoofy, too, because in electronic countermeasures, electronic warfare, and other forms of intelligence, counterintelligence, spoofing is a term that's also utilized. So interesting how this guy is called Spoofy, or this collective called Spoofy. But the point of relevance is he's considered to be a whale, right? And he's manipulating the currency. So again, it goes back to this alchemical process where the waters of the earth, and remember, lamestream scientists, they always say water is a source of life as we understand it, right? Water is a source of all life. Most forms of life on this planet exist in the oceans and in the rivers and in the streams, more so than on land. The oceans are teeming with life. And what has the powers that be done? They've done their level best to pollute the oceans and rivers and streams of the world with toxins, etc., etc. So from a micro, macro standpoint, from a metaphorical standpoint, water has been befouled. their waters, the controlling, ruling, hybridized elite, their waters are pristine and pure from their standpoint, and they manage to muck and pollute and befoul everyone else's waters. And I think that's part of the alchemical magic, alchemical control involved here, is they've tied in currency, they've tied in money, they've tied in the monetized debt system in some magical way with water itself, in the way that it's spoken of, in the way that it's regarded. Hence, we have this problem now with, have had this problem of a monetized debt currency where every time they print another fiat reserve dollar, it's charged to everyone else's debt. It's like, that's a neat trick, if you ask me. But it's managed to indebt the entire planet. There's the joke that goes around, well, you know, the Earth owes trillions of dollars, and a lot of that is derivatives and financial instruments of mass destruction. And the joke is, well, if the Earth owes trillions of dollars, who do they owe it to? Jupiter? I think that's kind of funny, but, you know. Also, the concept of Babylon, the Babylon banksters. Joseph Farrell wrote a book called Babylon Banksters, if memory serves. I think I read it. But, you know, ancient Babylon, Iraq, Mesopotamian Valley, the land between the two rivers, right? The banks, currency, the Tigris River and the Euphrates River, Iraq, all the wars that have gone on with Iraq have to do with money, oil, currency. Incidentally, in a part of the world where ancient Sumeria was, you know, where the Anunnaki were, go figure, modern-day Iraq and Kuwait. So anyhow, that's my thoughts on water, on currency, on the Saturn Moon Matrix. And I mentioned earlier about the moon having a regulatory effect on the human ovulation cycle, on female ovulation, on female menstrual cycles. And I think that's key, and I think it really needs to be delved into. I'm guessing that when these aliens, the Anunnaki, call them what you will, I'm sure by now it's, well, actually there is a number of different groups involved. But when the humans, as we understand them, were genetically enhanced, modified to become what we are today, and in some sense also not just modified, but have all these built-in, defaulted limitations and hindrances put into us, put into our DNA, put into our neurology, etc. One of the things that was done was to make us, to make our females, to use a term that they used to use quite a lot, more fecund, more fertile, right? So rather than most animals, which have a mating season, an ovulation season, where it could be every 6 months, it could be every year, it could be every couple of years, human females are born with as many eggs as they're going to have for the rest of their life. Now, geneticists tell us that we have like a 94% match with chimpanzees. There's a few things in our genetic makeup that make us different from chimpanzees. Okay? Point of relevance is that chimpanzee females only give birth like once every 5 years or something. They give birth to one infant once every 5 years, thereabouts. Whereas human females, they can give or get pregnant every time they go through their ovulation period. And that's interesting, if you ask me. And there's a lot of implications there. I talk about the hybridization, and where would the alien hybridization programs be if women didn't have this ability to, you know, ovulate every single month, right? And the depopulation agenda, which we know is real, which we know is well advanced, we also have to look at it from the standpoint of the aliens that are involved in the hybridization process. I'm not talking about the reptilians doing their hybridization programs and creating this ruling hybrid reptilian elite. I'm talking about the Greys and all these other different ET races that have been essentially stealing human DNA to enhance their genetics, their biology, their evolution seems to have stalled out, so they need to kind of jumpstart it with human DNA. By doing this across the board depopulation agenda, the ruling reptilian hybrid elites and the reptilians and Dracos they're working for, they're not only trying to get rid of humans, but by extension, they're throwing a spanner in the works of all these different other ET groups that are using human DNA to enhance their own DNA, that are conducting their own genetic hybridization programs. If the human DNA and human beings have been so polluted through toxicity, through, just think of all the things in vaccines, insect DNA and viruses and there's all kinds of weird stuff, right? And just think of all the stuff in the chemtrails, think of all the radiation. The aliens are not getting the kind of DNA they used to get from humans on this planet. So it's not only affecting humans, this depopulation agenda, it's also affecting, I have to believe, some of those ET races that are stealing human DNA in order to continue this hybridization program. Now, that much being said, some of these ET races doing this are quite advanced in the genetic field. Maybe they can work around all the damaged, tainted DNA, the human DNA. Maybe they can work around all the damage wrought by radiation through all the scanners, through all the Wi-Fi and everything else. Maybe they can repair all that, right? I don't know. But I just thought I'd throw that thought out that perhaps the depopulation agenda isn't meant to just get rid of humans on the surface, but also to thwart some other ET races that the Draco reptilian control factor may be at odds with, let's say. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out too, because DNA being the currency of the universe, currency, water, connection to water. Our blood chemistry, body chemistry is mostly water. We talked about the influence of the moon, etc. Well, another thing I'd like to bring up before the end of this first segment, and it'll be kind of a segue into the second segment. In the second segment, I'll be talking about cosmic espionage, cosmic spying, cosmic counter-espionage, cosmic counter-spying. We have to recognize when we're looking at more than just a human being that this person that we're confronted with may be a host for one or more entities, maybe under some form of deep state mind control on top of the entity infestation, etc., etc. So I'm going to talk about that in the second segment, as well as some other issues. Let me give you an example of an in-your-face cosmic spy, okay? In our field, the UFO, truth, esoteric field, etc., etc. Now, we're all familiar with narcissists, we're all familiar with how they operate. And so many of these speakers, so many of these podcasters, so many of these lecturers, so many of these authors, they're full-on narcissists, entity infested on top of that. And the two seem to go hand in hand. And let's say that you're sitting and attending a lecture for one of these blowhard, narcissist, entity-infested types, right? And they're up there saying, "I did this, I did that." It's all about them. It's nothing but being self-absorbed, nothing but grandiosity. And then they project outwards and say, "And if you don't believe me, you lowly people, you underlings, you peons, you. If you don't believe me or doubt any part of my story, you're the one with a malfunction." You see how that works? That's classic narcissistic gaslighting behavior, which we wouldn't put up with for one nanosecond in our families, in our personal interpersonal relationships, in the job environment, the work environment. When someone tries to gaslight you to that extent, Most of us, I would like to think, will go, whoa, 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 don't pull this crap on me, right? Make up all these stories and then tell me that if I don't believe what they're telling me, all this nonsense, then I'm the one with a malfunction, okay? See, that's pretty easy to spot. But for whatever reason, these lecturers, these podcasters, these esoteric messiahs and esoteric evangelists, they get a free pass. Someone does that to you in your interpersonal relationships, you either just detach from that person or you call them out on their own BS. But for some reason, some of these speakers and lecturers and, they could be with a Yellow Lantern Hexagonal Alliance. They could be, who knows, right? They could be one of the space cowboys, as I call them. Super soldier types. And people just give them a free pass instead of calling them out on their BS. And then when someone does call them out on their BS, they act all butthurt, pardon my Anunnaki. And then they project outward and say, no, you're the one with the malfunction because you don't believe me. I'm Mr. Perfection. I'm the embodiment of perfection. Everything I say is the truth. I'm all-knowing, all-wise, omniscient. When no one is around, I sit in a lotus position, levitating 4 feet in the air. Right? And we're just supposed to believe that. And if we don't, then we're the ones with a malfunction. The point of relevance is this. That person is manifesting classic narcissistic behavior. They are agents of influence. And if you ask me, an agent of influence, at just the surface level spying, counter spying game, can do far more damage than someone simply passing along secrets, right? Filching and stealing documents and passing them along and to the, to the group or agency or individual that pays them the most. Whereas an agent of influence can, due to their position in this, that, or the other ministry, bureau, agency, government, etc., etc., corporation, they can subtly and not so subtly influence things to the benefit of whoever they're working for, to the benefit of whatever their agenda is. Agents of influence. And these esoteric messiahs, these esoteric gurus, esoteric evangelists, the ones that they have the most effect upon, the ones they influence the most, are those people that lack psychological boundaries. They have an activated mindless follower gene. Even if they have misgivings, they keep to themselves, oh, well, what he said there, I'm not really sure about that. But you know what? He's a nice guy. She's a nice guy. I'll just pay $1,000 for their workshop or whatever, right? It really works wonders on people with an activated mindless follower gene. The people that have a little more discernment, a little more self-worth, doesn't work so well on them. Agents of influence. So in the next segment, I'm going to be talking about the subtle varieties of these cosmic spies. And you will find them in all walks of life. And I just mentioned these esoteric gurus, these narcissists, as a blatant in-your-face example of someone who's an agent of influence. He's not stealing stuff from you. He's not passing on information, to somebody. Well, in most cases, they're not. They're just there to influence people. And a lot of times, what they're doing is, it's not only an influence operation. It's a pacification operation. And it goes back to the intel requirements, folks. This is why when people tell me, oh, QAnon, oh, Teal Swan, all these different people, the Space Cowboys, Yellow Lantern, Hexagonal Alliance, none of that makes any impression on me because the chances of any of those people having information that meets my intel requirements, the chances of that are slim and none. So I don't even bother because my time is valuable, and I would encourage everyone else to adopt a similar mindset because it's all about mindset. When we're working at the cosmic level, okay, it's knowing what you're all about, knowing who you are, having an idea of what your destiny is, knowing what your intel requirements are. And so you don't spin your wheels like wasting your time and all these people that, quite frankly, are time wasters, right? It's that unforgiving minute I talked about in the past. If you have a minute's worth of distance to make up, you better start running. The unforgiving minute that Napoleon talked about. So anyhow, I just thought I'd throw that out. In the next segment, I'm going to go more into the cosmic spy game. I'm also going to talk about the concept of compromises, right? So many people make endless compromises until they just, like, they give away, give so much of themselves, and there's really nothing left to give because they've been wrung out like a wet rag, basically, right? So anyhow, we've reached the end of this segment of Bartley's commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. And if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see the members at the top of the next segment. Bye for now.